Good morning, everyone. Praise God that Jesus is seated on his throne. Praise God that we have his word and that we can look at it now. We are digging into Joshua, the very final chapter of the book of Joshua, drawing to a close our series. And we're going to look at it now. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are robed in majesty and that you are seated on your throne. Thank you that you are fellowship with us from heaven now, and we can enjoy you. Thank you for your word. Lord, some familiar things in this passage, but we pray that you'd impress them again on us. Give us the Holy Spirit to help us, we pray. And Lord, we pray that we would have a very clear sense of what it means to serve the true and living God from this talk. Please help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. Who will you serve? That's what we're thinking about today. Who will you serve? Cumbria Christian Youth Camp is happening at the moment. They camp over near Keswick. It's a youth camp, although it's day camps this year because of the COVID crisis. The kids are just going over for a day. But on that camp, what happens is you see lots of people serving in the name of Jesus. You have the cooks serving the kids and the leaders by cooking. You have the leaders serving the kids that they're looking after, teaching them the Bible, checking they're okay, taking them on their activities. You have people leading activities. You have people doing the administration, people cleaning the loos. There's so many examples of serving in Jesus' name. And who you serve is a really important thing. The leaders on the camp have to get up each morning and consciously make a decision. Who will I serve today? Will I serve the living God and so give myself by helping the campers? Or will I choose to serve myself? It's a choice that we all face every day as believers. Now, in our passage, Joshua 24, they are at a serious camp at Shechem. Take a look at verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. So the people have come into the land, and they've been given their inheritance, the different areas that the different tribes are going to have. And now it's a serious situation. All the leaders are called together, and Joshua asks them and the people who it is that they're going to serve. And I just want to underline for you why I'm taking service as the key theme in this passage today. It's because it is such a repeated idea. Take a look at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Then verse 15. Joshua says to the people, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Second half of verse 18, the people say, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And then you might like to look at verse 19, takes up this idea of who will you serve again. Verse 20, the idea of service. Verse 21, verse 22, verse 24. The people are being challenged, who will you serve? Will you throw aside your idols, the old gods you used to live for, and serve the living God? Or will you carry on serving love of money, love of sex, love of materialism, love of comfort, all those things? Will you choose who you're going to serve? And then what Joshua does is, as it were, he opens up the family photo album and he gives them motivation, gives them various motives for why it is that they should serve the living God. I've got a photo album here that was given to me on my 30th birthday. Love it to bits. And it's a story of God's faithfulness to me, his kindness to me in my early years. Yeah, I can see, I think that was my 9-year-old birthday there. Meeting Mim, God's faithfulness to me there. Grandparents, God's faithfulness to me with loving, kind grandparents. There's my Nana, who really loved Jesus. You can see her picture in the photo album here. This is a photo album of God's faithfulness to me. Of course, there's difficult things scattered through here as well in terms of remembering harder seasons of life, but it's still, it's God's faithfulness to me. I wonder what is in your photo album of faithfulness, if you're a believer in God's faithfulness to you. Joshua takes them through their photo album, and he takes them through things that God has done for them. So look at verses 2 to 4. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river Euphrates and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt." So in the photo album of faithfulness, Joshua is reminding them that God took Abraham and their ancestors when they worshipped foreign gods, when they worshipped idols, and he brought them out of that lifestyle to know him. Then secondly, Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt, verses 5 to 7. Again, this is another snapshot of God's faithfulness to them and a motive to serve him. "Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out." Remember, they were in slavery. God rescued them. "When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians." Then verses 8 to 10, it tells of the blessing that God poured out upon them when they fought against a foreign king, and he tried to get a prophet to curse God's people, but the prophet could only bless them because God was on their side. It's a really comedy situation. Then verses 11 to 13, he reminds them of the fall of Jericho. In their photo album, there are so many incidents of God's faithfulness. And I want to ask you, what is in your photo album of God's faithfulness to you? Is there a particular illness that he brought you through? Is there a particular time of hopelessness, or when you were just absorbed in your futile thinking and sins? Is there a person that he placed into your life? The Bible would say to us, these are motives for you to serve him. If he's done all these things, don't forget those. They are his gift to you to remember that you need to serve him. What's in your photo album of faithfulness? When is he rescued you? When has Jesus rescued you and helped you? Of course, in our photo album, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus, there's a cross, isn't there? Because he rescued us, bought us by the blood of his Son, breaking the chains of our sin and the devil's holding us in his control, and the fact that we're just on the road to hell without Jesus. The cross has come and changed that for us. And in our photo album of faithfulness, if we're a believer, that's a snapshot that's there, and it's the most important one. So Joshua says to them, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the living and true God, or are you going to serve the fake gods? And this is a choice facing each one of us. And it's a choice that we have to make today if we've not yet done that. Look at verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day, who will you serve? Maybe you've been coming to church for years, and yet you know that you haven't really nailed your colours to the mast. You haven't really chosen. You need to choose today. You need to throw off the things that are holding you back, the false gods, the things that have captivated you before, but you know haven't done you good. Choose him today. The choice is a very important one because it just goes two ways. If we serve the other gods, the false gods of money, materialism, sex, whatever it is, disaster will come upon us. And Joshua reminds them of this in verse 20. He says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he's been good to you. So if you go back to those things, it won't go well for you. And ultimately, you will lose everything at the point of death, when you will lose Christ and this offer that he's making to you. But if you serve the true and the living God, it's the way of blessing. Take a look at verse 13. The Lord says, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. God gives us things that he's purchased for his people, and he blesses us again and again. Our story is one of, he's just given us so much stuff that we don't deserve. So who will you serve? Maybe you're a young person coming back off camp. Did you make a decision on camp to throw off the false gods? You need to do that. Making the decision about who to serve involves remembering his faithfulness, God's faithfulness. And we've thought about the faithfulness photo album. But it also involves listening to the witnesses that he's placed in your life. Look at verses 25 to 27. Joshua sets up monuments for them to remind them that they've said, no, this day we're going to choose God. We're going to go with him. Look at verse 25. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. These reminders were to witness against them. When they saw this monument that had been set up, it would remind them, this large stone, that, oh yeah, on that day, we stood before Joshua and with all the other elders, and we said, Lord, we're serving you. We're going to be obedient to you. We know that it's the way of blessing. And if you have at any point trusted in Jesus, you know that you'll have various monuments like that in your life. There's things that witness to you of God's goodness. We've thought about the photo album already, but there's God's word. We have this in our hands. If we ignore it, on the day of judgment, the Lord will say to us, you had my word, you knew the way of life, you knew what you had to do, and you ignored that. The word of God will witness against us. I take it that those who've shared the gospel with us in the past will be able to say, you know, I shared the gospel with them, and they fell back. They didn't believe. The cross will witness against us as something that was offered for all sinners, and yet we spurned it during our life. And what about our baptism? We don't often think about our baptism, particularly if we were baptized as infants. But if we were baptized as infants, our parents made promises for us. In God's goodness, we were brought up in some sort of Christian community that caused us to be baptized. Our baptism will witness against us that we had the opportunity to hear the gospel. We did hear it, and yet we refused and turned away from it. Our adult baptism could witness against us. The fact that we were dedicated by our parents. There are so many opportunities that we have to be saved. We have to take them and to choose this day who we will serve. We're not in a country where the gospel hasn't been propagated, and where there's no church at the bottom of our street. We all have the opportunity to hear. And those things, actually, if we don't use them for our good, they will witness against us. Martin Luther, the reformer, used to talk about being, he used to say that he pulled his children up by their baptism. He said, you are baptized. Promises were made for you. You need to follow Jesus. Well, we need to pull ourselves up by our baptism if we're baptized people. But all of us will have had certain opportunities to hear. And if those things don't save us, they will one day witness against us. Pray, God, that isn't the case for anyone who's listening. So remember the faithfulness photo album, the things that God's done in your life. And I know that in some ways it's an imperfect illustration, because some things, they're so private and they're so significant to us as individuals that they would never be represented in a photo album. But you know what they are. You know God's faithfulness. Now serve him. Look back on those things and give thanks. And remember the cross, which is the most symbolic, most significant thing that he's ever done for you. Joshua certainly does nail his colours to the mast. He challenges them and says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose this day whom you will serve. whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're someone listening in and you're aware that it's hard being a Christian. There's so many people that have made the other decision not to choose the Lord. Feels like there's other people that have fallen back from meeting together as Christians and being part of the church and loving Jesus. Well, I just want to encourage you today to say, you know what? As for me, I'm going to serve him. I'm not going to be influenced by what I see happening around me, by what this or that friend has done. As for me, I will serve him. And even if I'm the last person on the face of the earth who makes that decision, I will decide to serve Jesus. And if we're in the blessed position of being in a household where there's more believers than simply ourselves, there's other believers as well. Maybe we're even a parent or have some real influence in that household. Then we can say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So whether you're on your own with the power to make a decision for yourself or to influence others, why don't you say, but as for me, I will serve the Lord. Will you say that with me today? But as for me, I will serve the Lord. So I've laid out before us a choice and a decision to make today. Who will we serve? Will we serve the living and true God who has only ever sought to do us good and will bless us? Or will we serve the false gods, in which case the living God will bring disaster upon us? It's a way of salvation open to every one of us. And I pray that if this is new to you, that you'll get in touch and find out how it is that you can take hold of this way of salvation. But those of us who've heard before, we know what we need to do, and we need to commit today, choose this day, who you will serve. Let's pray. Lord God, your people were such a mess in the Bible. We see this, they get brought into the land and they have to be challenged about who they'll serve, even after they saw the Red Sea parted, or their ancestors saw the Red Sea parted, even after there was so much goodness done to them and to their ancestors. And we realise that we're forgetful like that, and we're corrupt, and we realise that we get dragged down and turned aside from your path. But Lord, we want to come back today, and as we hear this challenge to choose today who we will serve, I pray that it would hit home for those of us who are listening today. Would it hit home? Would we make the decision? I want to serve the living God. Just like the leaders on the camp have to think, who will I serve today? Will I serve God and so the campers around me? Would we also today decide to serve you, and for that to work out in real ways, serving people in Jesus' name? And we pray this in his name. Amen.